Welcome aboard this month's PAX Week Views podcast. Looking after you today, a host of leading industry experts will offer their views on the trends and technologies improving the passenger journey. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the in-flight entertainment.
Welcome to the PAX Week Views podcast. Today we're joined by two special guests, Daniel Barron, CEO of Lyft Aero Design, and Dr. Sean O'Kell, Business Unit Director at STG Aerospace. Both Daniel and Sean join us to discuss the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital, an ophthalmic hospital and teaching facility located on board an MD-10 aircraft. First up, I'm delighted to welcome Daniel of Lyft Aero Design. Daniel, many thanks for joining us. It would be great to start by giving us some background on your experience working with Orbis and the Flying Eye Hospital.
I was on a business trip in Hong Kong. I was at Hong Kong Airport, which has huge floor-to-ceiling windows. And so you can see all of the aircraft very far away on the tarmac. And I noticed the Flying Eye Hospital, the previous aircraft, way off in the distance. And it was just a white, basically white with a logo. And I, at that time, I thought it was, I saw it and I thought, well, this is such a missed opportunity. Here's an opportunity to really highlight what Orbis does. And when the aircraft is passing by the airport, people, you know, the gates could instantly see it and say, oh, that's interesting, I want to learn more. And so I immediately went online and Googled Orbis CEO and found the guy, one guy called Jack McHale, and I emailed Jack. I said, I'd like to donate livery design to your aircraft, and expecting not to hear back from him. And literally a minute later, there was a reply from him that said, yes. And so that's how the relationship started. I sent over some livery designs and we talked, and then he said, well, actually there's this new project, a new aircraft. And so it started that way. And it's been 10 years of an amazing relationship with people there.
Fantastic. So how quickly after reaching out to Jack did the partnership begin, and what did you initially start working on?
Well, the first initial work was on the livery design, and I would say that took several months, 6 to 8 months. Of course, Orbis is not just Jack McHale, it's a large organization, and a lot of input from different parties on what they need, what they want, the right direction. We worked on the livery over maybe 6 to 8 months, but that doesn't mean it was applied onto an aircraft immediately after it was finalized. I would say it's completely different from an airline program. With an airline program, you have quite a fixed schedule. You have deadlines by which you have to have the livery design finished and paint ordered and all of the engineering drawings finished. In the case of this Orbis aircraft, it was quite a different flow, a different process, which is fine, but it's just difficult to answer the question very concretely because it took a bit longer than usual.
Absolutely. It is such a unique aircraft. I'm sure you had to take a unique approach to tailor to their specific needs and requirements.
Precisely. And a lot of the discussion around the livery was there are so many different audiences out there. There's the potential donor. We want donors to write checks for huge amounts of money to support Orbis, and so we have to communicate certain things to those people. We have to communicate certain things to potential medical staff who donate their time, to pilots who want to volunteer to work on to fly the aircraft. And so this one livery on one the aircraft, it may seem simple because you think, well, there's the logo and there's paint and stuff like that, but actually it's not so simple. There's a lot of strategy that goes into the markings, where what they're communicating, where they're located, the type of paint, the numbers of paint, how to reduce cost, how to keep the aircraft clean, especially the belly, for example. So you don't want a completely white belly because it will show marks, it will pick up dirt. And the aircraft is sometimes, it's not necessarily easy to clean the aircraft every time it goes someplace. So lots of things and lots of people are involved in delivery of one very, very special aircraft.
And over the course of the 10-year relationship that you've had with Orbis and the Flying Eye Hospital, is it just delivery you've been working on, or have you expanded this to include additional projects?
Yeah, delivery was the first discussion. And then we heard from Jack that new aircraft would be donated to Orbis, and they would be developing it from scratch, from point zero. And they very kindly asked me if I'd like to help them with that. And so we provided our services for the design of the interior of the new Flying Eye Hospital for the non-hospital areas. So the front of the aircraft has a classroom, which is seats where local physicians and nurses and other medical personnel come on the aircraft in country, and the aircraft is a teaching hospital, so those people sit there and view what's going on in the operating theater through a view system. And so we help design quasi-public areas, the non-hospital areas.
So as you expanded your involvement in the development of the current Orbis Flying Eye Hospital, what steps were taken to understand the needs and the use of the space on board?
I went to join one of the projects, one of the missions. I went to Surabaya, Indonesia, to see the aircraft, the previous aircraft, the previous design. And I wanted to see what were the concerns and the needs of the people working on board the aircraft. You know, do they need more closets? Do they need less of this and more of that? How do they work? How do they function? How do they move? What are their likes and problems with the likes and dislikes about the current aircraft, and then try to make the second one, make the current one better for them. So I went to Surabaya, Indonesia, and I flew the aircraft to Vietnam, to Da Nang, Vietnam, and spent a lot of time talking to people about their daily life on board the Flying Eye Hospital.
Building an onboard classroom and a hospital on an aircraft sounds like a mammoth task. How did you begin to approach this?
It was a mammoth task, and the engineering aspect, which we were not involved in, was really the mammoth part in how to put this monster together. The hospital areas, well, the whole thing is built into cargo containers because it's an ex-cargo aircraft. For us in the non-hospital areas, we weren't reinventing the wheel. We weren't recreating or creating, per se, a brand new cabin with new hardware. And so the cabin has, for example, the wall linings and the overhead lockers and the ceiling panels and the lighting panels are fairly old. They're not brand new. And the seats were very kindly donated. And a lot of the stuff on the aircraft in the passenger areas were donated. And so the interesting challenge was to how to make all of that relatively old hardware look fresh and new and crisp and clean. So it had to communicate to a few different audiences, to the visiting patients who may never have been on an aircraft before, and maybe their children, and maybe they're with their parents who also haven't been on an aircraft before. So there's a lot of angst and worry and fear, and naturally. And so the cabin, the public areas had to communicate calm and confidence, and that things are going to be okay, right? And then a different audience was the medical staff who are on board. We want to attract the best people in the world, and so it has to look very professional, and the cabin couldn't look like a luxury liner, a luxury jet, right? It's still a hospital, but it has to be appealing. It has to reach out and visually say to you, come and see this thing. It's the most amazing aircraft on the planet, right? And then the third audience was the potential donors. The aircraft goes to air shows and very important, influential, and wealthy people sometimes are on the aircraft, and we want to communicate through the design of the public areas and, of course, the hospital areas, that this is worth their time and investment. For me, the interesting challenge was how to, because we're not completely designing new stuff. We're recovering old stuff. And so, how to do that and create touch colors and textures and touch points that communicate the right message to the different audiences.
And how did the approach to the Orbis aircraft compare to, say, a commercial project? Obviously, this is a charity you're working with, so are the suppliers you're partnering with simply providing their existing products, or is there an aspect of customization?
In certain areas, yes. For example, certain suppliers, when we went to them and said, we've got this project, are you interested in donating material? They might say, well, we'd love to work with you. And by the way, we have meters of leftover material, and is it okay, you know, is it appropriate? And if it's appropriate, we used it. So some areas were driven by a particular, a particular need for a particular look. And yes, materials were made in that custom color or texture. In other areas, we took what was available if it fit the purpose. And so it's kind of a balancing act. At the end of the day, I think the approach is a bit different from a commercial aircraft. But fortunately, we had amazing supplier partners who were very, very interested who shared our enthusiasm for the project and were very interested in making sure that the final product was exquisite.
Beyond the classroom, were there any other interesting aspects that presented perhaps a unique design challenge or opportunity?
I mean, there's one really interesting area. So there's a long corridor in the aircraft that takes you from the classroom all the way to the end, to the rear of the aircraft. And we had to design a ceiling for that because it used to be a cargo aircraft. And on one side, we have these containers. But there's an area that was to become a corridor, and it had to be covered. And so we worked on creating a semi-transparent, semi-translucent honeycomb sandwich that brought in light from there were lights that had been installed in the ceiling of the fuselage, the top of the fuselage, because it was a cargo aircraft. And so we also took advantage of fixtures that had already been there because they just had already been there because they were in the cargo aircraft already. So there were those aspects which are different from a commercial cabin development. Lots of fun and interesting surprises along the way.
Absolutely, I can only imagine. In terms of your relationship moving forward, how do you continue to support the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital? Is it a case of maintenance and upkeep of the areas you've already been involved in?
In any aircraft, eventually a carpet will wear out, or a sea cover will wear out, or some replacement of some material or part is needed. And at that point, we'll just step in and if they don't already have a connection to the supplier, we'll help establish the connection, or we'll go to the supplier directly and say, well, we need this new material, extra bits of that or this, and are you interested in continuing your support? And if they're not, then we sort of try to find new suppliers. But we've never had to find replacement suppliers. Everyone is so enthusiastic about the program, they'll just say, sure, we're very happy to help, which is fantastic. But our involvement is now, in terms of the cabin, is periodic, trying to support and help when we can with areas that need replacement.
And how do shows like Aircraft Interiors Expo help in the outreach to new suppliers and raising awareness for your work with Orbis?
Well, I've been going to AX from the beginning, right? From the very beginning. And then I met with, I learned about Orbis and I learned about the aircraft. And then I thought, okay, this is an opportunity to link the two together. And the next year at AIX, or the next show, Hamburg, I approached the suppliers, and at that time, the level of awareness of Orbis and the aircraft was not terribly high. And yet, since people, you know, and people who are in aviation are in it because they love it. And when they learned about the aircraft and the amazing things that it does all over the planet, the reaction was, just tell us what you need, you've got it. It was an amazing, amazing experience to hear that reaction over and over again from everyone at the show. Everyone was really, really into the project. And that, of course, hopefully translates into continued interest for years to come.
On that note, for suppliers or interested parties listening to the podcast, how would you suggest they find out more and how can they get involved?
I would encourage people who are listening to go online, go on YouTube, on the internet, and find more information. Don't be shy. If you're interested in helping out and supporting, don't hesitate to contact me or contact anyone at Orbis. They're always interested in meeting new people and exploring new possibilities and showing people the aircraft and getting to know. There are always new suppliers and new people coming into the industry who may not be familiar with Orbis, and if I can play even a tiny role in helping those people, making them more aware and helping them understand the amazing things that Orbis does, and maybe even become involved through their companies or personally, privately, for me that's an honor and a privilege.
Our thanks to Daniel Barron, CEO of Lift Aero Design, for sharing his insights and experience working on the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital. We're excited to now welcome Dr. Sean O'Kell, Business Unit Director at SDG Aerospace. Many thanks for joining us, Sean. To start, how long has SDG been working with Orbis?
Okay, so SDG have been working with Orbis for quite a few years now, but we actually made the decision to make Orbis our charity of choice in 2018.
Fantastic. And how did you find out about Orbis, and can you give us some background as to how the partnership came about?
Well, SDG Aerospace is quite a small company, but quite a global business. And as we grew, we felt it was increasingly important to give something back on a global scale. Now, we actually manufacture cabin lighting, which improves the cabin aesthetic and also visual acuity of the passengers when they're doing their sitting in their seats. And so we're looking for a charity that fitted, and Orbis was an obvious choice.
We've already heard quite a lot about the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital today, and I assume, given the products you've mentioned, it was this that made Orbis stand out as a charity of choice?
Yeah, so as I said, you know, our business is fundamentally about light and about flying. So we help people see, whether it's during standard phases of flight with our ambient mood lighting, our LED lighting, and also in emergency scenarios with our photoluminescent lighting products. So that combined with it being such a great charity, you know, Orbis at the end of the day is a fight against avoidable sight loss in some of the world's poorest countries. So there's a really good synergy there. So really, at the end of the day, it was a no-brainer for us to work with those guys.
And can you tell us a little bit more about the products you've installed on the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital?
One of the key things we supply to Orbis is our emergency evacuation systems. Now, they're actually mandated on all aircraft, all large passenger aircraft, and Orbis, the aircraft that Orbis uses, no exception. It might be the world's only teaching hospital on board a plane, but it still needs to accommodate the passengers safely. So what we've provided over the years are our safety glove systems, and we've just earlier this year actually provided our latest generation of the product to Orbis, and it's a photoluminescent emergency lighting system, which is basically a simple in operation technology, but quite clever technology. And what happens is the photoluminescent material is used as a waveguidance system when all of the forms of cabin emergency lighting have been obscured by, for example, smoke in the cabin. So the photoluminescent is a light to guide you off the aircraft at floor level. Now, the product we supply to Orbis is the latest generation, and it's really simple for them to use and operate. So it's a really good system for these guys, because all you do is you have the cabin lighting to charge the system for a few minutes every day, and then it's charged for the whole day's operational duration. And it's such a simple system. If it's there, it works, and it reduces the maintenance and operational costs to Orbis, and it's also much lighter. So all these savings combined actually let Orbis get the most out of their flying eye hospital by reducing the operational cost.
As we all know, the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital is an incredibly unique aircraft. When it came to the installation, did you have to take a new approach, or were there any specific challenges you encountered?
The installation that Orbis used actually is quite interesting to STG, because it's very non-standard, as you'd imagine, being a flying eye hospital. It's not your typical passenger aircraft. So actually, we quite like working on projects like this, because it gives the engineers a bit of variety in their lives, you know. And so I think it's a win-win, because we get to do something fun and new, and obviously the charity benefits from us providing the free service.
It certainly is a one-of-a-kind project. You mentioned the engineers. How have they responded to working with Orbis and installing these products on the Flying Eye Hospital?
The photoluminescent technology is one of its real benefits is, because it's self-powered and non-wired, it's actually very good for adapting to different cabin configurations. And one of the things we do, we've done lots of different aircraft, whether it be, the Rolling Stones tour aircraft or the Queen's aircraft or, very weird configurations for princes in the Middle East. And we do all this kind of stuff as well. So this is a very unique configuration because of the passenger aspect to it, the teaching areas and the operation areas. And so it's an interesting, but also it's nice because it's something that gives back as well as keeps the engineers interested. So it fulfills both roles. So it's a real positive experience for the guys.
Great. Would you be able to talk through some of the product benefits and what they offer not only to Orbis but to other commercial projects?
Yes, of course. So earlier this year, as I said earlier, we donated our latest generation of product, and that's our patented Blue Glow emergency evacuation system. And it's a cool product. Orbis will benefit from it, not just from meeting the regulations, but also it'll look great on their airplane too. The latest generation of products is focused on improving the aesthetics for the customer, and Orbis benefits to that as well. Now, it's called SSULX, and as I say, it's the latest generation. It provides some really good unique selling points, and we'll be showing at AX. It's got edge-to-edge colour, which eliminates unsightly borders. It's got a huge colour range. I think the launch colour palette's 126 colours from memory. And we can do the world's first ever daylight colour in red as well. So we can do reds, we can do whites, we can do browns, beiges, all these things, and basically match the cabin to improve the aesthetics as much as possible. And to take that a stage further, we've also started doing matte variants to combine with the gloss variants. So for the design houses, it's a really nice solution. And one of the other things we've done is we've actually made it easier to install and operate as well. So for all phases of the journey of this product, whether it be the design house, the engineers, the installers, the operators, this new generation of product benefits all of them.
Moving away slightly from the Flying Eye Hospital to more general cabin lighting, you've talked about the different colours available. Have you seen more demand for that variation? And as airlines look for colours perhaps to match their branding or to create a certain aesthetic or environment on board?
Well, I think if you're talking about LED cabin lighting, which we sell, and also the photoluminescent products, the emergency products, let's be honest, you never want to use them in anger, but they want to look nice in the cabin at night time in a dark flight. So the Blue Glow product that we've launched has actually been received very, very well. For the LED lighting products, what I would say is actually there seems to be more of a trend towards high quality white light that actually works with the brand of the airline. So one of the issues we've had historically with LED lighting in cabins is people will choose, a blue ceiling light, and that blue ceiling light will have very, very poor colour rendering, so all the fabrics and finishes within the cabin then look wrong. So now we spend a lot of our time working on very high quality white color rendering, irrespective of what color temperature of white light you choose to use, and then combining that with tasteful mood lighting accents that actually provide a much nicer cabin aesthetic, and also from an operational viewpoint for the passengers and for the crew, actually a nicer environment to be in, because you get better quality light, so your magazines look better and everything else as well. So we do spend a lot of time in that area now.
And in terms of your work with Orbis or perhaps other commercial clients, what is the approach that you take that is specifically unique to STG?
One of the things we've really pushed for at our facility in South Wales is to be able to offer a service from creating an idea or a passenger customer need to designing it, developing it, certifying it, and then manufacturing it, to provide that to the customer to fit to the aircraft, all under one roof. We've tried really hard to build that structure within this facility, and I'm pleased to say we're now at that point where we can work for whether it be the aftermarket or an OE's customer and produce both LED or electrical products and photoluminescent products, so basically all forms of cabin lighting in that, under that one roof.
And final question, as we look ahead to 2021 and the return of AIX, what are you most looking forward to, or what is your highlight of the show?
It's always a good excuse to go and meet some old friends, I'll be honest with you. it's a great show, you know. It's the one show you go to each year is AIX. You know, some of them you give them, you know, you can take it or leave it. AIX, you have to be there. And that's true for STG as well, and true for me personally. I think from a personal interest viewpoint, I come from a technical background, so I'm always very interested in the Crystal Cabin Awards, the thing where you can see the new innovative ideas, whether they come from competitors or universities. You know, we won one a few years back, and the kudos it gets you is great, and we really enjoy seeing what people are coming up with.
Well, we've come to the end of today's PAX Week Views episode. Thanks again to our guests, Daniel Barron, CEO of Lift Aero Design, and Dr. Sean O'Kell, Business Unit Director at STG Aerospace. If you'd like more information on Orbis or the Flying Eye Hospital, please visit www.orbis.org. You can join us again on the next PAX Week Views podcast as we welcome more industry experts to discuss the next steps in the evolution of the passenger experience. You can also find out more about the Passenger Experience Conference, Aircraft Interiors Expo, and the World Travel Catering and Onboard Services Expo, which returned to Hamburg in 2021. Head to the show websites by visiting www.aircraftinteriorsexpo.com or www.worldtravelcateringexpo.com. We look forward to seeing you there.